Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the podcast, Economic SOS. And ladies and gentlemen, right now, more than any other time that I've done the podcast, made comments on the web of various things, this is truly an SOS. This is an alert. Yes, around what most people consider, talk about, refer to as the holiday season. We are at a time, ladies and gentlemen, where we are besieged by advertising. We are in the throes, many of us, of shopping in a place in our state of mind where we think we need to go out and buy gifts for family, friends, associates, spend money to make ourselves feel better, but all the while not looking at what is happening, not just in the United States, but as I've said before, worldwide. There are companies, investment companies, ladies and gentlemen, that are outright stealing money from their investors, openly taking money from their accounts. But we'll talk about that on Tuesday. I just wanted to give you an idea of what is truly, truly happening. When you have a moment on Friday morning after you've had your big meal and you've watched the parade, go to your laptop, go to your computer, and type in Gerald Celente. His last name is spelled C-E-L-E-N-T-E. And look at what's happening with this gentleman. He's got YouTube videos and will describe what is going on with his money, gold and silver investments, and how a company that held his money in an account, in a brokerage account, so that he could use that money to buy gold and silver, take physical delivery of the gold and silver, so that he would have the precious metals in case the economy got worse than what it is right now. He would have a hedge. He would have something to use, possibly to barter, to trade. They openly froze his account and hundreds of thousands of others, stole the money, and the company went into bankruptcy. And now maybe they'll get 20-30%. On the dollar. The Eurozone, what most people talk about when you hear them talking on the news about the euro, about the countries, Portugal, Italy, Spain, Ireland, most of these companies are insolvent, ladies and gentlemen, meaning that the reason that they're talking about this so openly on the news is because they're broke, they're bankrupt. The euro is about to collapse publicly. It's already collapsed, just like the dollar has in this country, but we've been propping it up through the Federal Reserve, giving out loans to companies to help them stay afloat. And they're at a point where they don't have the ability to just print money like the Federal Reserve does here and just openly give it away and other people to accept it. So when I sent out the email to let you know that, yes, there are solutions, I'll make it brief because I know many people traditionally want to spend time with their families around the holiday if they have them nearby. Many people want to be in a festive and cheery mood, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that if we don't look as a family, as a community, about things that are happening, we won't have these festive times much longer. And many of this is orchestrated. All of the traditions, all of the things that we cherish so dear, the symbolism, the ideal worship, are put out there so that we won't see what's truly happening around the world. We won't see what's happening in our own backyard with the increase in cameras in every neighborhood, the increase in the police brutality with the Occupy Wall Street incidents. We have got to see and make a real change to make things better for the future. Because as I said before the election, that it wasn't about President Obama making things better, hope and change, and it won't be about the new incoming president next year to make things better, hope and change. The things that you have got to do, you have got to do this, ladies and gentlemen, is get your own houses in order. Not a physical structure that you live in, but inside of you, mentally, physically, you've got to get your bodies back to a point where you're working, you're exercising, you're using your muscles. Because if there comes a time where you physically got to do hard labor, not for someone else, but for yourself, you can do that. And you've got to become independent. You've got to become the type of person that can do things for yourself. and the simple things. And I said they're real solutions that we can do right now. The first solution is you've got to learn how to provide for your own nutrition, your own food supply. For those of you that have homes, for those of you that are renting, that own a home, that even have a deck on the back of your apartment that you can put a pot there, there's a spot for food to grow. We've grown so accustomed to someone else feeding us. We've grown so accustomed to being able to go to a store and get what we need and think it's nourishment because that bottle of vitamins is supposed to supplement what you're supposed to be eating. We think that just because the label on the juice says it has vitamin C or it has no juice in it, that that's a great thing. Ladies and gentlemen, unless it's pure water or juice that you make yourself from fresh fruits and even vegetables and drink it that day, what you're getting out of the cans and bottles, regardless of what it says, are synthetic. They're not real vitamin C that the body can use to help rebuild what's inside of your body. And you'll get a lot of debate about that, but the truth of the matter is, and you can search this on many websites, look up the vitamin content in cans and bottles and see, is it really being assimilated by the body, or are you just throwing money down the drain or just pissing it away? Because right now, ladies and gentlemen, as time becomes more challenging, if you don't learn how to grow some of just the basic foods, you'll see people having tomato plants. And you can sprout from grains and seeds. You can sprout from mung bean seeds and put them in a jar and they will sprout. If you need to know what they are, you need to see them online, go and take a look. Go to a local farmer's market. Find some of these things and you'll see that those are some of the easiest things that you can make in your home without making a huge investment, and they pack a huge nutritional punch. Kale that can be grown in the garden, that can be picked up at the farmer's market at your local store. These are things that you can use to get back to eating more greens in your diet. Your grandmother, your mother, someone may have told you, you've heard the euphemism that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Yes, have that apple. Go and buy a case. Talk to your neighbor and say, if I buy a case of apples from the farmer's market, will you split the cost with me? And that's the number two solution, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to get back to knowing our neighbors. We've got to get to know them. Not that you have to invite them over every day for dinner, that you trust them with the key to your home, but we've got to get to know community. We've got to get to know each other. My mother's home last week was broken into, and her neighbors told her that they saw who did it. They were young kids. In the middle of the day, ladies and gentlemen, these kids were not out of school. And if they were, where are their parents? And where's the accountability going back to community? You see, we've become so accustomed to just sheltering ourselves in our homes in the evening when we come in, turning on the television or turning on the music or whatever it may be, as that release, as that distraction from the rest of the chaotic world, that we're forgetting that how we survived in the past and in every other culture. From the Asian culture, from the Mexican culture, from the African culture, even from the European cultures, we survived as people in communities looking out for each other, making a dish here, sharing it with someone there. Once we get back to that on even a small scale, if you split the cost of food with your neighbor at a co-op, if you watch out for your neighbor when you know they're going out of town, or if you work nights, they work days, you're not working or they're not working. We've got to learn to do that, because I've said this over and over and over. Many people are finally saying this even in the mainstream news, but they gloss it over or move to another story, that as the economy gets worse, and it's getting worse, ladies and gentlemen, millions of people on food stamps, millions of people still underemployed, unemployed, and the constant lie about the 9% unemployment is not true. It's falsified, it's contrived, because when they give you the 9% number, that's people that are claiming unemployment first time, second time, extended benefits. Once those benefits expire, once you are no longer on the unemployment rolls looking for a job, filling out applications, or going through their system, then you drop off the unemployment rolls. Search tent cities. in New Jersey. Search tent cities across the country. You'll see newspapers, websites in other countries talking about the homeless in this country and how deplorable it is that people are homeless and they're living near major metropolitan cities. And we are talking about bringing home, or excuse me, the government is saying that they're going to bring the troops home this year. Where are they going to work, ladies and gentlemen? The jobs for people that are here right now don't exist. The true unemployment rate is 16% to 17%. So, third solution. The third solution, whether it's for the vets returning, for the underemployed, for the unemployed, is that we have got to stop shopping at the corporate stores. And I know many of you would say, well, how am I going to survive? And what do you mean corporate stores? I mean any store with a big box sign. Any store that has 50, 100 employees in it, you may be one of them. I'm saying that the real solution to bringing back employment in this country is to start creating mom and pop shops again. The mom and pop hardware store that used to be on the corner that's been run out of town because Walmart is there and you think that they're giving you the best of the best, giving you lower prices, telling you to live well. How are you living well when Walmart eliminated the hardware store on the corner, the shoe store down the street, the candy store, the barbershop, the nail salon, the small massage therapist? All of these things, ladies and gentlemen, they may not be in every single Walmart, but where Walmart goes, some of these other businesses show up next to them because they know that's a huge influx of customers. But what's happened is they've run the small entrepreneurs out of business. And as I've said many times before, they can't compete with Walmart's buying power. They can't compete with Walmart's advertising. And the businesses that move into strip malls next to Walmart aren't going to the mom and pop stores because it's one-stop shop. You go to Walmart, you get your food, you get your clothes, and there's a little store next to it that you can just grab a couple of things. And many of the products that they're selling are not the latest, or they're not the greatest as far as quality. And you know this, when you go and you can buy 10 of something for only a few dollars, maybe 10 of something for $5, and another store it may be 10 of them for $7. The mom and pop store has got to sell it for double the price of Walmart because they're trying to compete. They're trying to feed their families. There's stories, ladies and gentlemen, all over the internet, but you have to know where to look. You have to see these stories and read them where people are going to jail. Middle class people are going to jail because they're stealing from game stores. They're stealing from stores in order to feed their families because they don't know what to do. There's stories that are coming out every single day, human interest stories. And this one happened to be on the New York Times, the New York Times Deal Book site, where it says it's a blow to pinstripe aspirations, where these 20-something financiers are hurt because they went to work on Wall Street and now they've cut their jobs. They've eliminated their jobs and they don't know what to do now. They're hurt because they've done all the right things. They got, quote unquote, the right education, met the right people, and now their dreams of wearing suits, having the perks, are all but dashed because of the recession and because of blatant greed, ladies and gentlemen. They've gone to the Ivy League schools. They've gone to Harvard and Yale and Princeton, University of Pennsylvania, and they're telling these schools that they've canceled their recruiting. Wharton School is the closest thing in Pennsylvania that exists to a Wall Street farm team. Goldman Sachs is canceling its informational sessions. So that means all of these kids now that are coming out of school next year, maybe your son, your daughter, niece, your nephew, who's thinking that they're going to have it easy because they have a college education, they're going to have a hard time even paying back the loans that they've gotten to go to school. Maybe working at a Walmart as a greeter, as a cashier, as a stock clerk. They may get a job in a business that's paying them five figures, the high fives. But is there a guarantee of that? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the educational system has always been a business, just like everything else in this country. But it hadn't hit us to the point where we could really see what was going on until they eliminated the jobs in this country and took them overseas. And that slowly but surely took away many services, many jobs and services overseas as well, so they didn't need the multitude, the excess of employees in this country. So now we're feeling those effects with the jobs disappearing, and if yours is one that has not disappeared, I want you to really think on this Thanksgiving about what you really have and about changing some of the ways, or at least looking at it and modifying where you are in life, about the foods that you eat for real nutrition, about learning to grow your own food. One or two things, herbs on the windowsill in the kitchen, one or two things sprouted in a jar, a small garden, one or two items, because ladies and gentlemen, when the economy gets worse next year, because when the president gets elected into office, we're hoping and changing that things are going to be wonderful and great, and when they don't, the people that have already lost everything, their homes, their cars, their jobs, people to help support them, they're going to be the ones that are breaking into your car, into your home, my mother's home, because they don't have anything to eat. The safety net is gone. So until we start looking at it in that aspect, and yes, it's wonderful to pray and to break bread with family and friends, but the change has got to start within ourselves. It's got to start within our homes with the basics. We've got to learn to get back to helping ourselves and our neighbors, because that's what is going to support us as the fabric of society starts to break down. So if you're really truly into the Thanksgiving spirit and you have food, a pie, you have multiple desserts, you know you won't be able to eat the whole turkey, cut it in half no matter how many people are there. You don't want to eat turkey sandwiches, turkey soup, turkey surprise for the next 3-4 days, and take it to your neighbor and say, I know we haven't met or we've only waved as we leave out in the morning or come in the evening or whatever, but I just wanted to tell you that I'm thankful that you're my neighbor, and I want us at least to start looking out for each other, at least to get to know each other a little bit better. That's where it starts. When you get to the point where you can open your arms in real thanksgiving to someone that lives maybe 100 feet away from you and you don't even know, that starts real change. The real solutions for the economy, for your economy, is you've got to start putting money back into small owned businesses, the small mom and pops, the closest one to your home, to make sure they stay open so they can feed their families, so that they can expand, so that if your son or your daughter, your niece or your nephew needs a job when they get a little older, you can say, hey, let's go down to so-and-so store. I've always supported them. They know me by face. Let's see if I can get you a few hours in there in the afternoon. That's how economies grow, ladies and gentlemen. That's how neighborhoods really, truly became strong, by us knowing our neighbors, us knowing who's in the community, and the stores were a part of that. If we understand that the reason that the Occupy Wall Street movement was successful to an extent is because they challenged the economy, which is what Dr. Martin Luther King talked about, changing the economics, changing what happened on an economic level and threatening that viability. What happened when people started saying, we're going to pull our money out of the banks, or at least with Wells Fargo? I know they had a statement that came out a week ago, maybe two, that said that we won't be charging you fees anymore. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the reason they did it was not because they wanted to be nice, was because they were worried that people would pull their money out of the bank. And that's where all of this really stems from. It stems from the greed of companies and politicians and us not caring that this is going on. We're thinking, as long as it doesn't affect me, as long as I get a paycheck on Friday, as long as I can go and have a beer now or get alcohol on Sunday in the state, some states and counties in Georgia, I'm okay. You're not okay, ladies and gentlemen, because the threat is real and growing. So truly, truly on this Thanksgiving week, in this holiday, this holy day, this holy season, get back to some of the basics. Get to know who you are inside and what's really important for you to sustain yourself. Learn about health and nutrition over this holiday and not just gorge yourself on the foods that are there. Because think about the people that don't have the food, the spread on the table this Thanksgiving. 10,000 people are going to be lining up in LA to eat. 10,000, ladies and gentlemen, for a free meal. That's 10,000 people that may not have a good meal every single day. The basics, a home to live in, 10,000 people that need a place to stay. And until we look at how to change that on a smaller scale, on our own individual scales, and then blossom that out, we won't see real hope and change in this country, no matter who's president. So I want to tell you that the change can happen within you, within your neighbor, within the circle that you live in. If there's not a small business in your neighborhood that you can start, look, I guarantee you there's one there. I guarantee you there's one struggling. I guarantee you there's a shop owner looking out the window, wondering where the next customer is coming from, watching the cars go by as they go to Walmart, as they purchase gas at the large chain gas stations. I guarantee you there's a kid selling something in your neighborhood that may be trying to help his parents survive to make not even the ends meet, but to meet the ends that the parents have stretched out. The child is trying to help. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we can do this if we truly believe in our hearts that we want change to happen. Not just to say it, but to do it. And to start supporting each other that have small businesses, whether it's online. You know people that are out there doing things that have their own little, as we call them, their own hustle. They're selling, whether it's Avon, Mary Kay, they're a speaker that needs a new speaking gig to an organization. The new year is coming up and people love to have someone come in, the companies that still have a budget for this, and give their company or their employees a quick little motivational talk. There are people that are out selling items that you need, that you can buy from them. Yes, it's a few dollars more than you can buy it from the cheapest store, but isn't that worth keeping that person employed? Isn't it worth helping somebody else not become a statistic on the street, losing their home, losing their car, not having their children break into your home because the children want. And that's what this culture has been based on, is wanting. It's greed, it's materialism. So if you want to celebrate, if you want to give a real gift, give something from the heart, something that someone has made with love from their hands, and give something with real thought in it, not just the latest and greatest. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't want to rant this long, but I think it's vital that we get this under our skin. It's vital that we get this in our hearts. And I say to each and every one of you during this season, turn on some music that really makes you think. Turn on some instrumental, whether it's jazz or classical or something that can help get your mind to a state of balance. Not the words that are repeating over and over about love, about the blues, about some of those things, because we hear love songs on all of the stations across the dial. Everyone's talking about the love this, love that, but the divorce rate is skyrocketing across the country because we don't know what love is. We don't understand what the basis of a healthy relationship is. We don't understand complementary pairs, someone that you can feed off of, someone that can feed off of you. We're so enthralled in just the love, just the illusion of it, that we can't see anything else. We hear the blues over and over, and yeah, that's my situation too. I'm so glad he can understand and relate to me. And some of the other music, all of it's telling you, it's giving you ideas in your head about how you're supposed to like and dislike, how we're supposed to treat each other. So get back to some music that can help you balance and rebalance yourself, and usually that's instrumental music. And I know that's hard for people to listen to, but when you're sitting and you're having your maybe second plate or third plate or whatever it may be, the day of, the day after, put on some music to help you relax. many of us only know the hustle and bustle, and we rush to make the food on the holiday, we rush to eat, we rush to watch the game, the games, and then we rush to go shopping at the maddening pace, and then we rush to go out and shop the next day and have bargains, or we just rush to get out of the home because we're so tired of staring at the same walls as we're going through our challenges. Or we're so focused on my routine. My life hasn't changed. I've still got my 5-6-figure job. I still have an A job. I still have my car in the driveway. They haven't repossessed it yet. It still runs. But ladies and gentlemen, those things are fleeting. When you get to a point, to the end of a life, were those things really important? Are the things that we're doing right now to each other more important than the things that we can do to lift each other up? So during this season, during this week, do something to change your life on the inside and watch it manifest on the outside. I wish all of you the best of times. I wish all of you the knowledge, the wisdom to change the times that we're in to make life better for you and your family and the circle of influence. Have a wonderful day of celebration, however you do that, with family, with friends, with volunteering, and carry that throughout, not just the end of the year, but carry that into 2012, because ladies and gentlemen, the flag is up. The white flag of surrender is not what we need to be waving, because many of us have surrendered to the cause, this economic depression, our own depression. We need to be waving the flag of assistance and help for each other, because it's there, but we have got to change the way we look at it and stop being spoon-fed the garbage and the media illusion that everything is okay because we're headed into a new presidential election. Ladies and gentlemen, the elections don't mean a thing if we don't start swinging. We've got to come out swinging for real change, our own change for our betterment. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll have another podcast on Friday, the day after the holiday. I'm your host, Daryl Nobles.